Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fake the Nation, episode 382.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about culture, and where we will miss the GOP debate happening tonight because we are taping today. I'm your host, Nagin Farsad, and I'm here to follow the news in a calm and not at all objective manner so that you don't have to. Today, we'll talk about other aspects of politics like this week's election results and the presidential race in a segment I like to call the political hodgepodge. We'll also talk about a fake nipple craze, the power of a compliment, and whether "nice to see you again" still works as a common greeting. Today's panel, folks, oh my God, today's panel. I mean, I'm so excited to have these guys on. Well, you've heard her on the show before. She's headlining in Vegas because she's fancy. Also in Dayton, Kentucky. You could see her the week of November 28th. Her information is on her website, I'm assuming. She also has an HBO special. If you are in neither of those locations, just go, just click on HBO and watch her because she's so funny and you absolutely must. She's the one and only Marcella Arguello.
Burr, burr, burr.
Hey, Marcella.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you. And also joining us on the show today is a comedian and an Emmy-nominated producer and TV writer, and a creator of the Comedy Central digital series Gone Native, which I've had the pleasure of seeing. It's so funny. You should also see it. He's such a great guy. I'm going to just say affable and funny, all in one package, not to mention handsome. It is the one and only Joey Clift. Hey, Joey.
Oh, I'm also going to do a ba-ba-bow. Thanks for having me. Now to Google what affable means.
Okay, and then before we get into the show, I just want to remind listeners that you may be enjoying two episodes of Fake the Nation, a recap and a regular Fake the Nation a week, because we're recapping The Golden Bachelor. And you may say to yourself, oh my God, I'm just getting so many gifts from the Fake the Nation universe. Maybe it's time for me to go to patreon.com/Nagin Farsad to support the show. You can do that for as little as $4 a month. It'll get you bonus episodes of the show. So if you're getting two because of the golden and the regular, then maybe you get even more with bonus episodes through Patreon. And the bonus is where we really let our hair down, which I would like to say is wild, because we already let our hair down when the show starts, and then we just add extensions. You know what I'm saying? So go to patreon.com/Nagin Farsad to enjoy what's going on over there. And now let's get into it with topic number one. So let's start off today with an amusement of your bouche, which is to say something utterly dumb in culture. And today we've really outdone ourselves on that front, because Kim Kardashian's Skims brand just released a bra with perfect erect nips embedded in the bra. Now, before we get into the pros and cons and the what the fuckery of this product, my question for both of you is, what is your relationship to visible nips, nipples? For its birth name, what is your relationship to visible nips in the first place?
I'm gonna say that my relationship to visible nips is honestly kind of a new phenomenon. I've recently started a really big fitness journey this year. I started working out with a personal trainer.
Ooh.
I before this year was just, you know, a very skinny beanpole of a man, and now I'm still that, but with just a little couple small muscles. And it's definitely something that I've noticed of, like, oh, I have a little bit. Sometimes I'm showing a little bit, so I have to like be careful about what t-shirts I wear.
Wait, and it worries you if they pop through?
Yeah, I guess. Okay, so I would say that like all things in the world, it is new and thus scary to me.
Marcella, what's your relationship with visible nip?
I mean, I remember as a kid, like, you know, when we would see like salacious music videos, it's like, oh my God, that's a nip on. I was such a little like Catholic little freak. So I was like, that's awful. And then you grow up and you're just like, oh, that's not a big deal. This is the nipple. It's just part of the body. I love when people let a little nip slip. I think it's great. I certainly don't mind it when mine are rock hard, but I'm also like not gonna do it everywhere. Try to be aware of where my hard nipples are showing a little bit through.
Right.
But I love a see-through moment. I think it's hot.
I just have to say, I personally, before this article, didn't really have a relationship with the visible nip. I just, like, I've noticed or whatever. It's not something like on my own person, I'm not out there constantly gauging my own nipples. Mm-hmm. I think there's like a separation of church and state between me and the nips, which is they do their thing and I do my thing, and then I don't interfere. You know what I mean?
Sure. Like, that's a grown woman take. That's what that is.
But it's like, looking back on it, I can't even say that in my 20s I was like very nipple conscious or something. I don't know. It's bringing up a lot for me, because I'm like, oh, there's a whole world of, I guess, people have been thinking about nipples in a way that I just, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like as a fashion statement, as a like what you could see statement.
Sure.
Obviously, nipples are relevant in other areas of life. But so I should note that the promo that accompanied the release of this bra talked about the earth and how it's getting hotter and hotter, which means that our nips are going to have increasingly fewer opportunities to be erect, which was obviously a joke on
sure.
Kardashian's part, but also, I mean, I guess it was offering a diaphanous valence of why this product would be made.
Exists because of climate change.
Right, yeah, right. I love that Kim Kardashian suddenly gives a shit about climate change and, you know, for this moment.
That I say, yas, queen, yas.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, and her exactly. response to climate change is to mass produce more stuff and create sure. more waste. So that's, yeah, that's like a really great response to climate change. Obviously, like, it was a joke, but it's also like, you know, not a joke, you know? Now, we read a piece in Dazed, and it talked about some of the pros and cons. And I just want to get your take on some of the cons. You know, one of the writers wrote, the same perfectly centered, perfectly circular, perfectly mm-hmm. poised nipples take away the deliciousness of the nipples hidden underneath.
Exactly.
So I have a question about that sentence. Was that written by Werner Herzog? It just sounds like the deliciousness of the nipples hidden underneath.
I would say it's more of like a Dostoevsky jam.
So I guess that my worry as a con is, this is a bra with visible nipples that are prosthetic added to it. So what if you're like feeling a little hard in your actual nipples? Would it give you like an udder situation?
Ooh, you're going double,
yeah, double in and out style.
Degger,
that's hot.
Double decker nip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. And then it just looks like a tumor or like a goiter on your boob.
You know,
like, if your nips
sexy
are powerful
goiter
enough.
Look on your breasts.
Which we agree is the new look, and that's something we should all strive for, yes.
I feel for the people with large, I feel for the people with large nipples or, you know, large areolas. It's like, where's that representation?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I guess Rihanna's got to come out with her own line of savage nipple wear just to satisfy.
This is going to cause like the bra nipple bra wars. Now, my question for you, Marcella, as a lady, do you feel that this is anti-feminist? That's one of the things that's being lodged against it, and that it is angling for the male gaze. Do you feel?
I mean, I
like
I think if you spell gaze as gays, yes, I agree, because the male gaze love a nipple more, I think, than straight men. I think straight men have too many opinions on a woman's nipple. But I wait, what the hell was the question? Oh my god, I've already brain farted. What did you ask me?
Is it anti-feminist?
Oh, anti-feminist. It kind of goes back to that 50s debate when the lingerie of the time was like pointy, and like, was it pro-woman, was it anti-woman? Like, there was that big debate about how that lingerie was intended to kind of be over the top, you know, with those pointy bras that Marilyn Monroe used to wear in the movies. Right. And it kind of feels in that same vibe of like, I guess it's, you know, you can't really, unfortunately, you can't really reduce feminism to one or the other. It's not binary, right? Every woman is going to have her own interpretation. So I don't know if it's anti-feminist, because I'm also like, obviously I'm pro nipple being out, you know, but I think it's certainly anti-diversity, which I don't appreciate, which is where I think the feminism intersectionality comes in. Because if they did have all the different types of nipples, then I think it would be kind of cool to be like, you can choose your own nipple in the way that like women choose their own wig or hair extensions that day. So I don't like that it's so just one thing. That's a problem for me.
Yeah, I gotta say, I really hope that this does well and leads to a bigger body positivity movement, because eventually I really want Polo Ralph Lauren to decide to make men's underwear with ball sacks on the outside.
Yes.
That would make me feel very empowered as a man if I could have that. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the arc of justice bends towards ball sack, yes. Is, I think, a quote that someone once said. And so I agree with you. Okay, well, let's move on to another dumb moment in culture. There was a chatter on the internet this week about whether or not it's safe to say nice to see you again, because what if the other person doesn't fucking actually remember you? Now, we're comedians. I feel like this is an issue with us in particular, given the volume of live audience members that we meet. Tell me, how do you feel, Marcella?
I mean, I don't mind as good to see you again, because it lets me know that, you know, I have met this person before. And what I don't like is when someone says, good to see you again, and you're like, oh, shit. Well, you know, well, what's your name? And then they get mad at you. And it's like, bitch, I can't remember everybody. Like, why are you going to pay me?
Yeah.
Because I remember, especially specifically with like Bill Burr, because I just love him so much that like back in the day, every time I saw him, I'd be like, hi, Bill, it's me, Marcella. Instead of saying nice to see you again, because it's like, I know he has seen me. I know that he knows me. I know that he forgets my name. Why would he remember my name? And it wasn't until I think like the fourth time that he was like, yes, Marcella, yes, I remember. Like, he got mad that I kept introducing myself. And I loved that moment, you know, because it's like, I just trying to make a point that I'm not trying to expect anything from anybody ever. And I think that's fine. But, you know, I prefer that it's good to see you again, whether I say it to someone or someone says it to me, because it's like, hey, a little nudge, you know, and I just don't like when people get mad that you don't remember them or they don't remember you. Like, what's the point of that?
Right.
Yeah, I'm just like very bad with names and faces. So whenever anybody says that, my response is always like, yeah, good to see you again too. And then I'll quickly ask somebody like, wait, what was that person's name? Do I know them? Yeah. I think that to Marcel's point, my version of that is going up to somebody and saying like, good to see you. My name's Joey Clift. We follow each other on Twitter. We met at a thing a little bit ago. And I'll kind of like give all the context. That way it feels like, okay, you definitely, we've met before. You might not remember me. I think I'm coming at it from that perspective of just assuming that the person doesn't remember me and trying to give them all of the context that I wish somebody would give me when they say, it's nice to see you again. I feel like there's also the comedian version of that, which is like, oh, yeah, good to meet you. I think I follow you on Twitter, regardless of whether you do or not. You're just like, I probably do. I follow a lot of people.
Right. No, that's a nice one. I mean, there's a thing that, like, I feel like is that I hear a lot from, like, you know, like actor and comedian types, which is just like, nice to see you. And they just don't add again. Like, they just say, nice to see you. Yeah. And they just,
the first time wasn't great. Yeah. This is the only nice time.
And because it's like, and that's a nice, it's a little like grammatically feels awkward, like it's missing a beat, you know what I mean? But like, it makes sense because it's sort of like covers your bases. I may have met this person before. I may not have. I don't fucking remember. It doesn't matter. Nice to see
also
you.
Also, nice to see you in person as opposed to online. There's a good way to have another sentence that's implied in any direction.
Yes. But I also, like you, I will go into like my biography. Like, I'll just be like, hello, nice to see you again, Nagin. We met this one time. I live in New York City in the East Village. Sometimes I do stand up, but my career actually has many facets. And I just like go into, you know, because, and then it's like, because I'm so, I just couldn't just always assume nobody would remember.
Yeah. I'm just riddled with social anxiety. And I'm just like, I don't want to make this awkward for them, so I'm going to make it awkward for me.
And then I'm going to ruin it for all of us.
Yay.
My favorite save is if you have a date with you or a friend with you and you're like, this is my friend, my partner. So you can get the name out of them if you don't remember them.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Oh, yeah. I do that move of like, oh, yeah, it's so great to see you again. I'd like you to meet my friend, like Andrew or whatever. And then they'll say their name. And I'm just like, okay, I got it. The name was Timmy or something.
One of my favorite Seinfeld episodes is they're trying to pull the name out of that woman that Jerry is dating. And I hate the lack of effort his friends make. Like, that shit really made me mad. I'm like, bro, come on, make a little more effort. Be like, I'm sorry, what's your name? Like, come on, teach people how to interact.
Yeah, yeah, for real. I was going to say something. And then I... for God. Oh, this is what I'm going to say. But the thing that I find really troubling, I mean, that I'm sure a person would find troubling is like, I know I've met someone, but I can't place it. And I also, and I probably even had a very deep conversation. We may have shared a dark night of the soul. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We may have like gotten real fucking serious about some shit and I still can't place it, you know? And that makes me so sad because I really wish I could. Right. Like, I just wish I could.
I do kind of hate when people give you the little mini biography sometimes. I actually, when I was at this wedding this weekend, I saw someone and I was like, I think that's, I'll use the word, I mean, the name John. I think that's John. And I didn't go up to him at the Friday night party. And then at the wedding, I saw him and I was like, and he saw me with like, he just, his eyes lit up when he saw me at the second event. And I was like, oh my God, Joe, we've met before, right? I thought I saw you. He was like, yeah, girl, blah, 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 blah. And we're just quickly chatting. I was like, I met you through Nicole. He's like, yeah. Bitch, it was not that person. I don't know why he just went along with what I was saying.
Oh, I've been there.
I was so mad when I figured it out. I think it took me a couple days to be like, I'm going to look this person up. And it was not him. And I was like, why was he agreeing to everything I suggested? I don't understand. That really upset me.
So does he? But maybe he's like, yeah, Nicole, my friend Nicole,
you know,
I guess.
And I started thinking about that too. I was like, that is a pretty, I mean, I didn't say the last name either.
There's some Nicoles out there. There's some Nicoles out there. All right, folks, let me know, what do you think about how safe are we with Nice to Meet You Again? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Hit me up. And then in the meantime, let's take a quick break so we can sponsor our shit up over here. And then when we get back, we'll continue talking. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 50 and use the code FakeTheNation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code FakeTheNation50 at factormeals.com/FakeTheNation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app, and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a like a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. And we are back, and we're ready for topic number two, the political hodgepodge. Let's start with a phenomenon known as the double haters. Double haters are voters that hate the candidates on both parties. The number of double haters has actually more than doubled since 4 years ago. So one-fifth of voters don't like, and this is in the presidential race, the double hater phenomenon, they don't like either candidate, Biden or Trump. So my question for you is, are you surprised that we have such an unprecedented level of double haters? I actually don't know if it's unprecedented. It might be precedented. It feels unprecedented. Are you surprised? And is it just something that we have the luxury of feeling right now because we're so far out from the election? I don't know. How do you feel, Joey?
I definitely agree in that I feel a lot of sentiment among my friends and online that, you know, we're maybe choosing between two not ideal choices. You know, Trump is Trump, everything that he brings, and Biden, you know, I mean, really, they're both.
He's also Trump.
Yeah, he's also. Yeah.
Well, it's just, no, and they're both, he's not.
I don't mean this as like an ageism thing, but they're both so old. Like, it's just like there was a news story, I think, last week that Biden is starting to push to regulate AI right now. And the only reason that he's doing that is because he saw the latest Mission Impossible movie and got scared. I want a president whose policy isn't dictated by a Tom Cruise movie and who understands on a base level what the internet and technology is. And, you know, it's like maybe that person should not be in their 80s, you know.
I mean, in Biden's defense, he has a gajillion people working for him who actually know the ins and outs of those issues. So it's like that's the other. I mean, as someone who interned once on Capitol Hill, legislative aides do the work of knowing the details when one human being cannot possibly contain like books and books of knowledge about these issues, right? And so that's the other thing that you're voting for is a person's, you know, you're voting for a person's mental acuity, okay, but you're also voting for the person's judgment in hiring practices. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's fair. I guess that I just would prefer if I did not hear that Mission Impossible AI story. you're totally right in that, like, yeah, I'm sure he has like very smart people around him who are younger, who are more up on that stuff. But yeah, don't tell me that like he saw Mission Impossible and was like, oh no, AI. Like,
okay, Marcella, double haters. Are you surprised by the
phenomenon? I mean, I've always been a double hater. I am happy to see that people are kind of opening their eyes to, you know, what's really going on. Because I specifically remember when I voted for Obama, I was like, oh God, here we go with this fucking bullshit again. And I got so many friends that were so annoyed with me because I was so critical of him while we were voting. And I was like, what? We're supposed to be critical of our politicians. Because we don't know what they're actually going to do when they get in there. And so when you see everything that's unfolding with Biden now specifically, you're like, I'm glad to see people are like, oh, shit, what do we do? What are we really going to do here?
What is unfolding for you about Biden other than his TV movie nights?
I mean, we can go on and on about Israel and Palestine, and I don't think we want to do that. But that's been, to me, the real knife in the heart. And I've always been critical of Biden. I didn't suddenly become a double hater of Biden. This was always kind of there, but I will admit embarrassingly that I've always been a vote blue no matter who. And I think this is the first time I've actually gone beyond that. And so I'm interested to see how I decide to vote because I actually don't know what I'm going to do. And this is the first time in my life I've ever felt that way. So, I hope the double haters are ready to join me on this journey because, for it being such a new phenomenon, I do think it's unprecedented. I actually do, because this is the first time I've seen so many people react critically to their own party. And I'm interested to see what happens.
Well, the interesting thing is the double hitter situation has left room for people curious about independent candidates like RFK, Junior, he could be having an impact on the polls. A new a poll of 6 battleground states showed that. And he's not the only one. RFK left the Democratic Party to run as an independent, but so did Cornel West. He left the Green Party to run as an independent. As someone who is a double hater, what do you think about these emerging candidacies?
I don't feel great. Cornel West has been, exposed as sleeping with the enemy type shit in terms of funding. So I don't know. Honestly, I've been trying to keep up and no one's exciting me. And I, not to say anyone's ever excited me in terms of politics. But I don't know. That's what sucks is I don't know. And I think a lot of people feel the same way.
You mean you're not excited by Robert F. Kennedy's videos of him just lifting weights and that's his primary platform?
I want to see him in those ball sack undies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then maybe I can make a choice.
Yeah, I'm also not totally sure, but if one of the candidates started wearing ball sack undies, like, I'd be all in.
Come on now.
But yeah, I guess it is. I mean, I don't know. I think that it's good that, you know, as a country, people are being more critical of their political, you know, candidates. And, you know, hopefully like holding people accountable and pushing people to support, you know, better policies and things like that. But it's also just, I wish we had better choices. wish we had, you know, just like somebody that we could say like, oh, that person doesn't seem awful. I'm not like swallowing a big spoonful of shit by voting for that person.
Sure. I think Joey was right, though, that I think part of the problem is that there is no, you know, we have a minimum age for running. But we don't have a maximum age, you know, like why it, to me, it seems natural to be like, okay, if the general consensus for retirement is whatever, I don't even know what it is. Let's say 76 or like, why isn't it stopped there? I know that's not what it is, but I'm saying
to obtain your full Social Security package, I think you have to be 67.
Yeah. 67. I have the number swapped.
There you go.
And they're trying to push for, you know, people would love for us to keep working past that age.
Life expectancy has dramatically changed since those sure. You know, the idea of retirement came into play and Social Security and, you know, Medicare benefits and when they kick in and all that stuff. So it's like all of that stuff should kind of change to reflect. I mean, I think 67 is kind of like too young to have a cap and some sort of retirement for presidential candidates.
Sure.
But I agree that it would be nice if we just had like a general rule of thumb that sort of reflected our longevity and our useful, you know, years, which I think do extend into your 70s. But not much past, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 76, I think that's why it went into my head. It was like, you know, it's like, okay, you're still there, but you're also not there.
Well, it would just be nice if there were like mainstream political options who were not in their 80s. Like, you know, just like, just what? Because I mean, you know, if it goes down to Trump and Biden, it's like Biden is what, 82, Trump is like 79 or something like that. And it's like, it would be nice if there was just like, I don't know, let's say a candidate who is, you know, in their young spry 60s.
Right. And also it would be nice if one of the candidates like wasn't on trial like in New York City right now. You know, I mean, it's crazy. Trump spent Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember which day, like all day in a courtroom. I mean, wow. You know, like that's so insane to me.
I think it would be a proper reflection of the country and the numbers we have in terms of incarceration. That's like real proper representation right there.
Okay, silver lining, Marcelo Arguello. Let's talk about
My God. I also just want to asterisk that, even though, because I'm a comedian, but I do want to say that is not me endorsing Trump. I just want to say that right now. I feel like you can't even now as a comic say some things without people being like, did you mean?
No, I know. Yeah. No, she's not endorsing Trump. I am also not endorsing Trump. Yeah. I never have. And also, I am not endorsing Biden because I will vote for Biden if he's the choice.
I am endorsing RFK because he lifts. No, kidding.
No, but also it doesn't matter if you guys don't, you know, it's like you guys could, you know, it's like we can all have a differing, you know what I mean? Fake the Nation does not censure panelists the way some congressional bodies do.
But I'm in the same boat as both of you in that, like, you know, I ultimately hope whoever wins does not destroy the country on purpose.
And I also just want to say just like a positive thing about Biden, which is, you know, I feel like the Inflation Reduction Act was just a marvel of legislation in getting that kind of thing done. It was the biggest environmental legislation we've ever had. And it's like, you know, a great first step among 700 additional steps. So that's cool, you know?
He nominated Deb Haaland as the Secretary of the Interior, who's the first ever Native American person to be in a secretary-level position in the U.S. presidential cabinet. So it's like he's done some stuff.
Now, let's move on quickly and talk about yesterday's Election Day results. Yesterday, so that's Tuesday. Here, I'm just going to give you some of the takeaways, and you guys let me know how you feel about them. One of the big takeaways is that abortion is a big driver to the polls, and abortion wins. Mm-hmm. The victory of Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky, who criticized the state's defense of the near total ban, he won. And the Virginia legislator is now majority Democrat, which means that Glenn Youngkin's 15-week ban won't happen. A Pennsylvania Supreme Court candidate who ran on abortion rights, Daniel McCaffrey, also won, giving Democrats a 5-2 majority. So that kind of protects stuff in Pennsylvania. And in Ohio, a referendum establishing a right to abortion access was victorious. We may have been a little bit depressing in the first part of political hodgepodge, but I don't know. This was pretty uplifting to me. How did you guys feel about it, Marcella?
I just love that we as a nation can agree that unprotected sex without consequences is the ideal living situation for all of us. Come on.
Yeah.
That's it. I love it. I think it's great. I'm very happy. I mean, it's just proof that was the most insane shit to happen in recent years.
Yeah.
In this country specifically. And I'm just glad that like everybody's getting together like, nah, man, I'm trying to fuck, man. Yeah. What are you talking? That's all we have left. They're increasing prices of everything. Gas is crazy. The war is crazy. Like rent is crazy. Like, damn, I just want to fuck. Like, that's it. That's all that's left. That's all that's free that's left. You know,
Joey, do you just want to fuck?
Yes, I do just want to fuck. Yes. I definitely agree that I definitely went into yesterday kind of with, I would say, not the best expectations of how things were going to play out. And I was, you know, pleasantly surprised with how things went. One thing I thought was really funny was how quickly the Democratic Mississippi governor candidate conceded. It was very early in the night, and he was maybe like maybe 80% of the vote was in, and he was only like 3 or 4 points behind, and he was just like, "Nah, man, I'm out."
Yeah, that is that. It was weird.
Yeah,
the other
it was
thing-
like it was just like fight a little bit.
Yeah.
He didn't want it. He was exhausted.
He was just like
just
any opportunity
stressful.
To say no. He was just like, "Nah, I didn't want it that bad. I only want it if everybody votes for me."
No. I was also like, that's like something my daughter would do, and she's 4. So the other thing that was interesting about last night is that they spent a lot of money on anti-trans like rule, anti-trans propaganda, right? So they spent a lot of money in Virginia and a lot of money in Kentucky. Both of that those expenditures didn't work. Like I mentioned, Virginia is now has they maintain the Senate as a Democratic body, and the House of Delegates is now Democratic. I should also mention that Danica Roem is now the first trans member of the House of Delegates in Virginia.
Great.
She's like the first trans member, I think, in all of the South. So that's, you know, that's fucking cool. And it's a sign that this is a culture war issue that does not necessarily maybe have the teeth that they think that it has. I was heartened by that. What did you think, Joey?
That's just so encouraging that at least the majority of the country are not hateful people, you know. Once again, the bar is through the floor, but that's kind of what I was talking about when I was saying, like, it is encouraging that, you know, the country is, you know, being pushed in a more progressive direction slowly but surely. And, you know, I feel like there was, you know, a lot of real fear among, you know, a lot of people, myself included, of like us maybe going down a different path. And this is just encouraging that, you know, especially this and then the midterm results, that maybe things will turn around in the future.
You know, I did a show with Chris Gethard and Corey Ryan Forster recently, and who listeners have heard of the show before, and it was called Comedy Saves Democracy, and we did it in DC, and the three of us sort of made the case that, like, as stand-up comedians, we've been around a lot of the country, and we just like meet more people than the average person around the country. And when you get to have that experience, I think at least for the three of us, it is more uplifting and gives you way more optimism. I think when you're just like stuck in your room looking at the internet and feeling shitty, you're not actually getting a sense for America. So don't confuse that experience with what's happening in America. The internet is not what's happening in America. And I think some of these results are like a good little reminder for us that, like, you know, there's an actual lived experience that cannot be captured. And maybe, you know, with our online experience and some of these votes are an example of that.
Wait, I have a question. So you just said we're comedians. We meet a lot of people. Was the nice to see you again story earlier just you trying to pull us and be like, "What is it okay if I do this? Because I meet a lot of people."
Guys, I need to figure out how to act with people.
Yeah, just like, please
give me some
solid.
Tips. How do
Not
I behave?
Even recording that segment. Yeah, yeah.
That was just like, I'm worried about how I'm doing it. All right, let us move on to topic number 3. Apparently, a compliment has been shown to benefit both the giver and the receiver, but social psychologists have found that oftentimes people hold back. So before we get into how to give a compliment, which is something I want to get into, I want to ask you guys, do you find yourself holding back the way social psychologists have reported?
I think that I'm quick to give compliments on things like performance and stuff like that. Like if I'm at a comedy show, I will be very quick to like walk up to a comedian and just say like, "Oh, that was a good set," or like, "Oh, that's super funny," or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I think that things like appearance are things that I try to be a little bit more like, "Oh, if they compliment me," or if it's like a night out and we're all dressed nice or something like that. I think that I'm a little bit more weird about accepting compliments, but that's I understand a me thing. As far as like, if somebody compliments me, I will immediately, like a reflex, be like, "Oh, you look really nice too," or "Oh, thanks, you're also great," or whatever compliment they said, I'll say the same back to them.
Right. Marcella, what do you find yourself holding back?
I've never been like that. I'm like, "You're right, I look great," but I don't love when people. I'm just not a fan of people complimenting my appearance, just in the sense of like, I don't need it. And people really don't like to hear that. But I'm like, oh, I know my hair looks good. I know my makeup looks good. I know my outfit looks good. Like, you don't need to tell me that. I'm chilling. I got dressed for a reason. I got a mirror. But I also don't even like them. I prefer a compliment that's like a little more, you know, from the heart. Because those are more meaningful when people are like.
But what about you complimenting? How much do you?
I love complimenting people. I compliment people all the time. As soon as I say, I'll compliment strangers. Okay, red shirt, whatever, red shirt. Oh my god, girl! I love complimenting people. I never hold back. I think compliments are nice.
I think compliments are great too, but I do find, I think a lot of people sort of think a thing and then don't say it. I feel like that's very common. And
I hate to be common, girl. Why are we being common? Let's not be common. Let's just give compliments. In a world of darkness, we should be all complimenting each other at all times. You see a stranger walk past you and she got a pretty dress on, nice dress. You see a guy with, you could tell he doesn't always get dressed up, and he's walking into some restaurant, you let him say what's up to him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I love that. And I do, there's like moments where I found myself like thinking something and then like not saying it because of just the logistics, like of like, oh, I should have said it sooner. Now they're too far away. I'm not going to run back. You know what I mean? There's like
scream,
stuff like
hey,
that.
Hey, nice
that
shirt.
Hey, yeah. Turn around. You know what I mean?
But I mean, look, here's how I'll encourage everybody to give compliments more often to strangers. When you see a stranger smile because of something you said, it feels good, you know, like not in the way that catcallers do it, because when we smile at a catcaller, it's out of fear, right? Mm-hmm. But when like you see a stranger and you say the thing, whatever, like, okay, pants or nice pants or wow, you're looking good. You guys got it together. I remember walking by a group of girls that were doing a little like, you know, selfie photo shoot. And I was like, yeah, girl. And they're just like, ah! You know, get some all worked up. To me, that's the best time to give someone like appearance compliments, you know?
Joy, for sure.
I try to be very aware when I give someone like a physical compliment. I gave someone like a, oh girl, you look really good. And she was like, it's a Zempic. And I was like, oh no, that's not what I meant. I meant like your skin looks good. Your makeup looks flawless. Right. Like that's when I was like, oh, this is why I give specific compliments, because otherwise people internalize it and their insecurity will pop out. And that makes me sad. You know, like I don't want to know your insecurity in that moment. I want you to feel good with this compliment, you know, but it goes back to how did you word it? What did you say? How would they interpret it? You know?
Right. And it's interesting you mentioned that, because one of the things we read a New York Times piece about the power of the compliment. And one of the things they pointed out that psychologists find is the worry that people have is, will I make the other person feel awkward? Will the compliment seem sure. fake or pandering? So those are kind of some of the things that come up. And they gave us a set of rules on how to like go forth and compliment. So it one of the rules that you just mentioned, Marcella, is, you know, when you're praising a friend or a loved, you know, friend or a loved one, be specific. Mm-hmm. Because of that, kind of like be specific. And I think in your case, specifically because the inner critic will internalize it and come up with something sure. crazy and then turn the compliment into some reason to hate themselves.
Yeah.
And so you want to be you want to make sure that doesn't happen. Another one is, if you're complimenting a stranger, keep it brief, sincere, and positive. Joy, do you feel like you follow mm-hmm. these rules when you're doing it, or been doing it wrong this whole time?
I've been doing it wrong this whole time. Oh no. I think that for me, when I give compliments on appearance, it's like, you know, like I'm happily in a relationship. I love my girlfriend a bunch. So it's like, I think that if I give compliments on physical appearance to like guys or girls, I'm just trying to like compliment in such a way that they don't think I'm like trying to fuck, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like my compliments tend to be a little bit more specific. Like I'm big into fashion, so there's a lot of like, oh, that scarf is really cool, or like those glasses are rad. Where'd you get those from, or whatever? You know, I think that complimenting an article of clothing is like a good specific way to compliment somebody's appearance without being like, damn, you look fine, or whatever, you know.
Right, but, right, right.
Yeah,
it's funny because this weekend I was wearing a jumpsuit and I got a compliment from this guy that I know, and he's like, I want to say like in his maybe late 60s or something, maybe early 70s. And he was like, oh, I really love that jumpsuit. And I hope it's okay to say you look like you look really fit. I think he said fit maybe, but he said it was like in such a he was very kind about it. Like whatever he said did not upset me at all. And also I was like, thank you, because I've been working. You know what I mean? Like it's also nice to be recognized of like, you know, yes, I've been trying to lose some fucking weight. And if it doesn't, you can tell. Oh, my God. You know, that's great. I think there's ways Also, I think because he was like such an older man, he knows my husband and all that stuff. Like, it's easier for him to like maybe get away. And I know his wife. Like, it's like it was easier for him to like say something like that. I do think like physical stuff always gets like a little complicated.
I mean, what's funny too about once the Me Too movement happened, I also noticed that men giving compliments change. They do exactly that, where they're just like, can I say that? And it's funny because it's like all they're doing is, I like your shirt. I think I can say that. You can say that. Just like, it's funny that they've turned their compliments into questions because they're so traumatized from the Me Too movement.
Right.
It's like, bro, just don't say a creepy thing. That's all. The other thing I wanted to mention was the funniest thing about having immigrant parents is that they learn English through you. So my mom, like at a certain point, picked up from us because we're such little conceited little brats. And we thought it was funny. When someone compliments you, you'd be like, I know. Oh, I know. You know, I still do that. And my mom started doing it seriously to complete strangers. And she was like, and their faces changed. And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, oh, because you're not supposed to say that to people you don't really know, you know, if you're not going to be playful. She was like, oh, I thought that's just what you said when someone compliments
Hilarious.
You. You don't say thank you. You say, I know. And I was like, oh, no. We do that because we're conceited little goofy idiots. I've always loved that about her, is that in the house now she just does it for us, but when people compliment her, it's really funny watching her be like, oh, I have to say thank you. She has to think
right,
about it.
Yeah,
right.
I'm definitely going to keep in my back pocket the phrase, I got a mirror if somebody compliments my appearance. It's such a good, I'm going to remember that.
Another rule of thumb, according to the article, is don't second guess yourself. Just like really fucking go for it, which I think is, you know, Marcella, you've kind of taught us the merits of that. And then in closing, I just want to read a little sentence from the article, which also goes back to like being specific. But like the power of a compliment is this is what the article says. Most people are, quote, in the grip of their inner critic, said this one psychologist. But if you can give someone a good compliment that you mean, you kind of give their inner critic a right hook. And I like that because, you know, you know when you're like wearing a daring outfit and you're a little nervous about it, and then someone compliments you and you're like, oh, okay, it works. It's working.
Yeah.
It does give your inner critic a right hook. It kind of calms your nerves, and that's kind of like what the power is. It also, it just has always made me feel good to give the compliment, which the studies show, and it tracks with just my own personal experience.
So question for the room. Well, what's the best compliment that you've received like recently?
Oh God.
I love when, people will, their compliment include something that happened that made them feel great. Like I can't think of a specific example at the moment, but I love when someone's like, do you remember that time when you did this for me, or you know, you're like, you, oh, who was it, Kevin Avery, it was like, I remember you would offer to pick me, or he got into a car accident and I took him to work every single day when we lived together. Good old Kevin Avery. And he was like, that made me feel so good. Like, it just made him feel great. And that's the kind of compliment you want, is that it's something that elevates the both of your lives at the same time, and has nothing to do with physical appearance. It has everything to do with being there for each other. That's my favorite type of compliment. That's why I'm saying, when people give me compliments about my looks, I could give a fuck, because they don't actually mean anything to me. And I wish they didn't mean so much to other people. Everyone would elevate their confidence, so that when we compliment each other, we're complimenting each other about how they contribute to society and how it makes, you know, everyone feel. That's what I think. I think the worst version of a compliment is saying, I like your blue and red shirt, because when I hear someone say, I like whatever the thing that you're wearing is, I'm just like, bitch, I don't know your taste. So I don't know if that's a compliment. You could have bad taste.
Yeah, you look and see like how they're dressed,
the
and you're just like,
this wearing, is you know? Because right, I think what you were saying was like, your scarf is cool, your glasses are rad, where did you get them? I like that, you know, like that's a good way, because you're communicating, you're connecting on a different way. So that's my little two cents on that.
It's funny, like I was trying to think, I mean, I always love like if people like my work, you know what I mean? That always fucking works on me. But I the first thing that came to mind is, and this one's like kind of crazy. We all know and love Maeve Higgins, the comedian. And she wrote a book, and I'm in, and she references something. She came over my apartment. We were talking about something. She was like in a bad mood. I didn't know the backstory. She was like in, she was upset about something like that happened on a, on the train or something. And I said, like, I said something that sort of like helped like not make her upset about it, like reframe her attitude about it or something.
Read the book, buy and the book and read it, guys, so you can get all the details.
Get all the details. I know, because I can't, I'm like not summoning the details even right now. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah,
but
I
like, but I was like, first of all, I didn't know that moment was memorable at all whatsoever, that I said something that was helpful to her. And I was just like so honored that she remembered anything I ever said or did for her at all. And it was just, I mean, obviously, like to be in a paragraph of like a published book is crazy, but like it was just like, it was just so, what a compliment.
What a compliment. Those are the best compliments.
Those are the best compliments. Because it was also like years ago. It was like, I came to your house. I came to her house and I did it. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember. It was like, and it's like something that I didn't realize that like I was being helpful. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's not like I was like setting out to help someone or whatever. And it was just so nice. And I, you know, I that's the kind of thing I really, that's the kind of thing that you're talking about. It's just like, you don't even, you're like doing something for someone and then later on they're like, remember years ago when you did this thing? It's so great. And you're
that's
like,
a
what
compliment.
Oh my gosh,
that's a perfect compliment. Yeah. To me,
that's a perfect compliment. Yeah.
I think for me, I recently had like some really nice like kind of career accolades, and like I'm native and rolled Cowlitz, and when they got announced, a bunch of members of my tribe like DM'd me and sent me like, you know, texts and stuff like that, just saying like, we're so proud of you. And it's like, yo, native people can be mean. Native people can be so mean. And so like to have members of my tribe who like don't have to say stuff like that, like reach out. And, you know, it's just that to me is like the biggest compliment, is like my people appreciating what I'm doing,
yeah.
You know, or being, you know, liking what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Oh my beautiful. God, I love that. That gave me chills. That's so sweet. Chills in a good way. What? You know what I mean? Okay, folks. How do you like to give and get compliments? Hit me up on all the social media platforms on which you compliment people, folks. That is the end of the show. What a delightful panel the two of you are. I mean, I would do it again and again and again. And what I want is for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to find you and the wonderful things that you do. Joey Clift, where do they do that?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This was so fun. You can find me on Twitter/X, TikTok, and Blue Sky at Joey Tainman. And then you can find me on Instagram and Threads at Joey Clift with 5 or 6 eyes. The reason for that's a 12-year-old took Joey Clift with 1 eye, so I just had to deal. And then you should check out my new Comedy Central digital series called Gone Native that was shouted out at the top of the show. It's a series of animated comedy PSAs about weird microaggressions that native folks often experience. All the episodes have fun and long names. One of my favorites is called Every Time You Say Something It's Your Spirit Animal, You Have to Give Every Native American Person You Know $25. So far, no takers, but I feel pretty confident. You can check out all those episodes at gonenative.tv.
Definitely go. It's so fun. You should definitely check it out. And Marcella, where do they find you?
You can find me at marcellacomedy.com across all social media. That is my Instagram, everything handle. And yeah, Vegas, November 28th through the 30th. That's the big show. And I don't know. God, I'm still sick. That's it. Thanks, y'all. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, you guys. And you know where to find me. I'm going to be in Philly at the Midler Theater on Friday doing the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me stand-up tour, and also on Saturday in D.C. at the Anthem Theater for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me stand-up tour. So come out to those, and they're going to be super fun. And, I have a new piece in Progressive Magazine, a regular installation of my column. So check that out. It's about fandom. The crazy twists and turns of fandom in the modern age. And I would like to thank everyone who makes this show a possibility. That's our wonderful producer, Andrew McGuire. Thanks to everyone at HeadGum. And thanks to Gabby Elder for our wonderful theme music. You can reach out to us at faiththenationpodcast@gmail.com with any ideas you might have. And don't forget, The Golden Bachelor comes out next Friday. And check out The Golden Bachelor and then look at our recaps. They're so fun. I have a maniac of a friend who actually listens to the recaps before the episode, which makes no sense to me, but I love her either way. Anyways, otherwise, we will be back in your earballs next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.